Thank you. Thank you. Good to be back at Bethel. My wife and I spent 21 years here at Bethel Baptist Church, and we thank God for the leadership we had under Pastor Skyver's ministry. Spent 15 years with Pastor Skyver. I had brown hair when he came, amen. And I had a full head of hair too, amen. But praise God, I was a deacon. I did about everything there was to do here, deacon, all the children's church, bus ministry, everything. So, associate pastor. So praise God. I'm so excited about my son. Where to get back here, amen. And sitting back here with the rest of my family who are backsliders. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they sit back here because of the kids. Amen. And I understand that. But so good to see all my family sitting back there. And my granddaughter, boy, grandkids are just wonderful. Yes. Oh, man. I love that grandbaby. Yeah, can have a rough day and come home and see her. And she just smiles and wants to play. And she likes to play with my bald head. I just lean over and she just rubs it and talks, and it's just wonderful, amen. And so excited about my son and the opportunity that the Lord's given him here. And keep Taylor in prayer. They'll be separated for about a year, but she's a special young lady, so keep them in prayer. Very excited. Thank you, Pastor Skyver. I'm very excited for you investing into my son. And I want to thank God for my wife also, who has faithfully stuck by me.
Yes.
If I came up here and told you everything has been wonderful in the 6 years in Lima, I would not be telling the truth. We had some rough roads the first 2 years we was there. Good people, but not everybody wanted me there. Amen. And good people, I'm not talking bad about everybody, but God sorted everything out. And now the church is on fire for Christ. And thank God for my wife standing beside me.
Yes.
And I love you, honey, with all my heart. Thank you. Couldn't do it without her.
Yep.
Thank God for all my family sitting back here. Family so special. And God's just good. Rod, last time I heard you sing that song, you sang it for an hour and a half. Amen. At the tent revival, he sang that song, and the evangelist was singing, said, just keep singing. We had an hour and a half altar call, and Rod sang for about an hour and 15 minutes of that. And it wasn't foolishness either, preacher. It was people just getting things right with God. And that is the song you sang. Yeah, amen. And I was waiting for you to sing it again and again and again. Amen. And it was such a blessing having Rod and Debbie with us. And they mean a lot to our people at Open Door. Pastor Skyver means a lot to us. And thank God for all the people from Bethel. Thank you for coming over. That meant a lot to me. Dave, thanks for coming over and singing for us. And God's just good. I'm glad that thing, I can't wait till God destroys the element with a fervent heat. Ain't glory to God. Amen. 425 pounds.
Woo!
Going down our basement steps. Amen.
Oh,
and boy, when it went down, all of you guys have been married. No, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Amen. And when it went down, one of the guys accidentally slipped, and the top half went through one wall, and the bottom half went through another wall. And coming up, we had the visions of Melanie's anger, so it did not slip coming back up. Amen. And God's just good. But if I never lift that thing again, I prayed all day long, oh, God, please. And that's only a slight exaggeration. Please let them have that in the church when I get there. And I came. I sheepishly looked into the U-Haul, and it was gone. And praise God. Hallelujah. And thank you. Thank you. Who brought that in? Dave and John and Billy. Amen. Amen. And man alive. But excited for my son. Keep us in prayer. We're a very close family, but I want him to be in the center of God's will. And God spoke to me 2 weeks before Pastor Skyver called me and said that your son's going to Bethel. And then Amber and I was on the way here, and I spoke to Amber in Akron. I can still see where we're at in the Akron area. I said, Amber, 2 days before you called me, I said, because Amber had to come over for something, and I came with her. I think it was for something with Alicia's wedding, and came over and I said, Amber, I really believe Billy's going to Bethel. And she said, Dad, I think you're right. And so it's nice for the Holy Spirit to let me know that, amen, and prepare me. But I'm very proud of my son. He has a bright future. Glory to God. Open up your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. Glad that teenagers are in here tonight. I preached this message at Open Door a couple months ago on a Wednesday night, and we had the teenagers stay up for this message, and this can be applied to everyone's life, myself included. I don't just preach to people out sitting out there. I preach to myself also because I need it also, amen? And all through history, people have gotten into trouble because they have got outside the circle God has put them into. God places us in His perfect will. We're the ones who choose to get out of it. Now, tonight, there are hurting hearts in here. Boy, I tell you what, there's one named Jesus Christ, if your heart's hurting tonight, that you can look to. There's no friend. I can't be there at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't be there at 7. I can't be there at midnight. I can't be there in the afternoon. Pastor Skyver can't be there all the time, but Jesus Christ can. Man, we need to learn to place our expectations on Christ and not each other. This is a great Wednesday night crowd, and this is no slam. But that's why there's empty pockets in here tonight. Because people have put their expectations on men or people, and they get their feelings hurt. Put your expectations on the Word of God. It never changes. Never changes. Just like Pastor Skyver. I've been waiting to hear that song when I come back here for Standing on the Promises. Amen. Standing on the promises. We got half the people at Open Door doing that now. Amen. You can't sing Standing on the Promises without saying ho. Amen. And me and Rob try. We stand up there and shake, try not to do it. And we actually do. And Rob always leans over and says, that's almost impossible, isn't it? Amen. Some things never change. I'm glad your spirits never changed. A good spirit in here, by the way, also. Yes. You're going to get some black eyes in the journey of life. Yeah. But boy, I don't know if this is doctrinally correct, Pastor Skyver, or not, but I've asked the Lord for one request. Said right before he cast Satan in the lake of fire, just give me one swing, one swing. And you know, what if God honors that request, amen? And in front of millions and billions of people, I get to swing and punch that old maggot right in the head one last time, amen? I've seen him destroy too many lives. I've seen him drag too many people out of the way. But tonight, we're not talking about what Satan's influence is on us. We're talking about our own decisions. I preach this many times at Open Door. I'm tired of people blaming their issues and problems on the Almighty God.
Yeah.
Also, I'm tired of everybody blaming their issues and problems on the devil.
Yeah,
many times it's us taking a revolver and shooting ourselves right in the foot because of our own poor decisions. Right here, I'm talking to myself also. Own poor decisions.
Amen,
and tonight, I want to talk to you. Teenagers, get this in your heart. Not because I'm preaching it, but we're going to go through a lot of scriptures. Wednesday night Bible study, going through a lot of scriptures. I'll preach a little, but we're going to do a lot of scriptures tonight. And I want you to watch these stories in the Bible. Older folks, middle-aged folks, watch these stories in the Bible where people have made their own decisions and got themselves outside of the circle that God has put them in. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he has no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That have been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sit upon the circle of the earth. Let's pause there a minute. If you study history, that is the verse right there that convinced Christopher Columbus that the world was round. And that's why he sailed out when all the other bozos thought the world was flat and they was going to go off. He used the Bible. He quoted the Bible and he looked at that verse and it's the circle of the earth and he started thinking. And that's why he set sail, amen? Yep. And as he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that's us, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and their whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom, watch this, then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Tonight, I believe with all my heart, God has the corner on wisdom, love, and power. One thing that I learned from Jack Isles, Pastor Skyver, if your preacher gives you a book, you better read it. The one thing that's helped me out in the ministry more than the King James Bible, almost as much as the King James Bible. I'm sorry, I misstated that. The one thing that's helped me out as second to the King James Bible is the books that you've given me, because I read them. And one thing that said that a Christian needs is wisdom, power, and love. And God has the corner on all three of those things. Tonight, who knows more about being in the perfect will of God than God Almighty Himself? Amen. Who knows more than the Almighty God?
Right.
Let's talk tonight about getting outside of that circle, getting outside of the will of God. Do you realize, before I pray, you can be in all four church services, you can come to soul winning, you can give your tithes, your offerings to missions, you can pray and read your Bible and still be outside the perfect will of God? Do you realize tonight, if you come to church services and you're fooling around and you're talking, you're texting, you're playing around with your phone, that you're not right with God and you might be answering at Judgment Day for allowing somebody to slip into the pits of hell because you was goofing off during church time? Goofing off during altar call time? Boy, I don't know where this comes from, but like you, I'm just going to let go. Amen.
I like it.
I get on the people of Open Door all the time. Do not leave. Now, I don't know. I didn't turn around during altar call. I'm praying. It's business time.
Amen.
But don't leave the services during altar call unless it's an emergency.
Right. Amen.
Don't soil our pews. Don't soil our carpet. Amen. Glory to God. Don't make any messes. If body fluids are going to come up, then go out. Amen. But anything short of that, stay. That's the best part. That's what we work for. And then people sense people going out, and that spirit, Bobby, goes down. We're an army. We're to never retreat. Amen. Now, I know I'm not getting on people with kids or people with health. I'm not talking about that. But tonight, you know, when we make a decision to get outside of the circle of the will of God, not only are we taking ourselves out, but we're taking somebody else out with us. You're affecting future generations. Future generations. Let's pray. Dear Father, help me to be a blessing tonight. Lord, I'm nothing without you. Lord, please. I need you. Holy Spirit of God, anoint me. Don't let me waste anyone's time tonight, Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen. All right, we know in the Bible, hey, glory to God. God is supreme. Isaiah 40, verse 25, to whom then shall he liken me, or whom shall I equal, saith the Holy One. No one's equal to God. God knows. Turn to Genesis chapter 2, please. Good to hear those Bibles turning. Bring your Bible to church, amen. I'm totally 110% my opinion, for what it's worth, 110% against Bibles in the pews, amen. Because it teaches people to just rely on that. Bring your Bible, amen. Bring your Bible. Hey, Bobby goes to do drywall, I guarantee you, he takes his tools to do drywall, amen. This is your tool. Bring it to church. Cherish it, amen. Glory to God. False denominations tonight have taken a lot of people outside the circle of God. False Bibles have taken a lot of people outside the circle of God. Different ways to heaven. Everybody cannot be right tonight. Alcohol and drugs and pornography, immoral sex, sex outside of the marriage and outside of wedlock have taken a lot of people outside of the will of God. Tonight, boy, let's not be hard on the sinner. Let's be hard on the sin. All of us are just, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But tonight, let's call it out as like it is. Let's just say, hey, you know, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, that if your brother is a drunkard, so that tells me right there, a Christian can drink, a Christian can get drunk and still be saved. But I believe you can sign an early death warrant by doing that. So don't give you a license to sin. Young people, there's a movement. It started even when I was the youth pastor here amongst young people saying, well, I'm saved. I can go do what I want. Then if that's your attitude, I really question whether you really got saved. I'm not saying you are or not. I'm not wise enough, but it's enough to put a question mark if you just think you have a license to go out and do what you want, because the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 12, he that was without chastisement is a bastard. So if God doesn't whip you for doing that, hey, you're not his child. Tonight, If the Ruskies, and by the way, Russia is not done either, amen. If the Russians decided to nuclear attack us, and Pastor Skyver had a bunker left from 2,000K, amen. He has a bunker left under his house, amen, with all kinds of food. And he says, hey, there's room enough for everybody. Come to my bunker. The missiles will be landing in about a half an hour. Come to my bunker. I guarantee you, as good as these people are, there would be at least two or three that'd say, no, I'll just take my chances out here. But safety is within the circle of that bunker. Yeah. And you know, it might not have everything we want down there. Cleveland, glory to God, the Cleveland Indians won't ever lose again if there's a nuclear attack. Amen. Glory to God. We don't have to worry about Jim Tressel anymore. Amen. Yeah. Don't have to worry about those things. They won't matter in heaven anyways. But they'll be the safest place to be if Pastor Skyver had built a bunker in his house and it's nuclear proof would be in that bunker. We wouldn't get to see things. We wouldn't get to do things what we wanted to do. But that's the safest place. And tonight, the safest place is the circle of God's will. And let's just say, all of us in here tonight are Christians. Let's just say we are Christians. And by the way, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not a Christian because you attend Bethel Baptist Church, as good as this church is. But let's say the perfect circle of God's will tonight is this platform. This is the perfect circle of God's will. And this whole property you're allowed to roam in tonight, but the perfect circle of God's will is this platform. Billy, could I have you come up here again? I had him come up here. He's a good, if you need somebody for illustrations, he is great. Because I tell you, it ticks me off when people are clowning around when I call him up for illustrations. Amen. He'll never clown around on you. And if he does, just stuff him in that organ. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you sit down, son? Amen. Let's use Billy as our example tonight. He's in the middle of God's will tonight. I believe that with all my heart, Pastor Scott. He's right where God wants him at. But there's all kinds of things that's wanting to entice him out there. And please don't get mad at me. I know there's a lot more of you than there are me, and there is me. But that's where most Christians are at today. They're not in the center of God's will. They're out there just wandering. Oh, they're still saved. Oh, they're still seeing a little bit of things done. But they've made some decisions to get out there where they can be touched by Satan a lot easier than up here in the center of God's will. Look at Adam and Eve, first of all, in Genesis chapter 2. Remember, safety. Safety is in the arms of the Lord. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. You've heard Pastor Skyver teach on that very eloquently many times. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now watch this. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The same thing happened to the Bible. I love what Monty Watts said. Nobody's seen the originals. The originals are in heaven. Forget about that garbage. Amen. God breathed into the Bible and it became a living quickening entity of God. Yeah. And he breathed, just like we're in essence breathing. My granddaughter, when she was born on February 9th, is still breathing in essence that same breath that was breathed into Adam. And these words are just as inspired as they were all those years ago. Boy, God's good. I love the Bible. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden. Now watch this, eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Billy, stand up real quick. All right, God formed Adam, and he placed him in the center of his will, placed him in the center. He said, okay, I didn't put you out there in the middle of nowhere. I put you in the middle of a perfect creation. Okay, sit down, please. Sit down. I put you in the middle of a perfect creation. I love nature. Glory to God. We went with Melanie's parents yesterday. We went up to Erie, Pennsylvania, and we went up in this tower, and you could observe Lake Erie, and I'm just looking at how beautiful it is, and God Almighty made all that, and that's as beautiful as that is. That's after 6,000 years of a curse on it. Just imagine how beautiful it was 6,000 years ago. Amen. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Two trees are mentioned there. Originally, God placed man in the center of God's will, and then he gave him a choice. Boy, that's good. God put him in the center and gave him a choice. Carl, God does not want robots. He doesn't force us to serve him. He even gave the angels a choice whether to serve him or not. You see, and tonight, all of us in here have a choice of what we're doing with the one life that we're given by the Almighty God, what we're going to do with it. Now, I want to show you what, now everybody knows, but let's look at it for memory's sake. Let me show you where Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, people chose knowledge over life. Genesis 3, 22. You know the story Eve took. It wasn't an apple, by the way. Nobody knows what it was. Genesis 3, 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." See, Eve chose. Adam and Eve chose. Eve was deceived, I know, and Adam willingly took. But the choice was between life and knowledge. Boy, you ever think of that? What if Eve would have eaten that tree of life and left away that forever? What a thought. But she chose, they chose knowledge. And that's why, stand up again, son, please. That's why most Christians in our great nation are out there, are way out in the back of the parking lot, because they are choosing knowledge over life.
Yeah.
Boy, my life is so, I'm not without hardships, not without headaches, not without pains, but my life is so much better serving the Almighty God, and I fall very short of the glory of God. I'm not saying I'm a good, please don't misread me. I have sin. I'm a sinner. I'm the chief of sinners, glory to God. Let's get that out of the way right up front. But my life is so much better when I read my Bible, when I pray, when I give out gospel tracts, when I forget the filth of this world and choose life over knowledge. Thank you. Sit down again. See, from the very beginning, people all over the university here at Kent State, and I'm not, you know, I know people got to go to school. I'm not knocking just Kent State, but just using that since it's so close. People have chosen knowledge over life. All those professors, they could hands down over there. Most of them know more about this subject than we'll ever dream of knowing. But when it comes to Judgment Day, it's not going to matter a hill of beans. Life, life, life. Choose life tonight. Choose life. I'm talking about choosing life in Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve fell short. They fell out of the circle when they was placed in a perfect environment. Placing people in a perfect environment doesn't matter anyways, because we know Adam and Eve fell. Amen? In Lima, the town I live in, Lima is a very rough town. It's like a little Toledo. We come to Ravenna, we feel so safe and secure here in Ravenna. It is like Mayberry. I didn't realize that when I lived here, amen, but it is like Mayberry. We come back here, you can leave your car windows down. You can leave your doors unlocked. Not in Lima. We've had cars stolen out of the parking lot while we're in church. We've had windows mashed out of cars in the parking lot while we're in church services. We've had Alicia came over to visit. Her car was broken into in our driveway when she came to visit. I mean, it's just burglaries, drugs. I don't know what goes on here. But boy, thank God for what you have here. It's not the environment. It's the Savior that makes the difference. In Lima, they decided a couple years before we came there that they were going to start to try to rejuvenate the south side of town. The south side of town, you don't go down there at night if you want to live. Hey, man, you go make your visits early in the morning. Every time we go down there to make visits, they go scurrying into the house. It's the police. It's the police. They go running. Hey, amen. Makes me feel kind of good. Hey, amen. 5'4" and everybody's running from me. Hey, amen. And we go down there. And they tried to rejuvenate that one street. They redid a bunch of houses, and a bunch of the higher-ups in Lima moved down there. But they didn't rejuvenate the whole neighborhood. It was only down there about 2 years before they couldn't take it anymore with their cars, tires getting slit, and windows, you know, graffitied on. It's not the environment you're in. It's not say, oh, man, it's nobody knows what I go through. You're right, nobody does. But it's not the environment. We all have the same Savior, amen. I'm used to being an open door pointing back at the cross, so pretend like there's a cross back here, amen. Amen. We're all, just it's not the environment. It's who your eyes are upon. It's who your eyes are upon tonight. Look at Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 11, please. 1 Kings chapter 11. We as American Christians, it scares me, Pastor Skyver. The more I get into the Bible, and I haven't even scratched the surface in the Bible, but the more I get into the Bible, the more I realize the American Christian is going to have a lot of rewards burned up in heaven. We give of our abundance. Boy, it's a shame when somebody tells you they can't afford to tithe and they have two cars in the driveway, a nice house, a boat. You know, I've got people that I love that tell me they can't afford to tithe. But then they say, well, my 401k went down, my retirement went down. I'm down to $500,000 in my bank account. I've had people tell me that, but they can't afford to tithe. Boy, yeah, it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Amen. Getting outside of the circle. I understand it's wise to save for retirement. I understand it's wise to save for a rainy day. But don't forget to give your tithes and your offerings. Don't forget to support the missionaries that you promised that you would take care of. Don't forget to give. You'll never regret it. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Dave Ballard said that's his favorite verse. Amen. Amen. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidians. I'm just like preacher. I just let it fly, and who knows if we're right or not. Amen. And Hittites of the nations concerning with the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. His wives. The most startling thing when I was studying my Bible a couple years ago, and I was reading Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, and I got to the end and I realized the wisest man in the Bible is not mentioned one time in Hebrews chapter 11. The wisest man who ever lived lacked faith. He went down in history as a man who couldn't control himself, who was drug away. His father was a great man, and by the grace of God, he's going to be in heaven. We know he's going to be in heaven, but he blew it with the one life he had. He blew it. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, got outside the circle of God because he couldn't control his sexual appetite. Tonight, it grieves my heart, preacher, the number of counseling sessions I have about pornography. About pornography. It is. It's unbelievable. I had a young man come in. What didn't even belong to our church. His family brought him in. Said his life is devoured, and this I'm furthest thing from a sodomite. But this guy was good looking enough. He could have had. Looks wasn't a problem, I'll put it that way. But he was devoured with pornography. And he came in and I told him what he needed to do. I said, you need to get rid of that stuff. You need to get rid of the computer. You need to throw it in the trash. You need to get into your Bible. And you need to claim. Here, if you're struggling with an addiction tonight that's dragging you outside of the circle, here, right here, Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. What's that watch mean? That means you give up sleep in order to pray that you'll not enter into temptation. Either you're serious about the addiction or you're not. This young man said, he came to a session or two, and he came to me and said, Pastor Turner, I love you, and I thank you, but I'm choosing my pornography over the things of God. Yeah, breaks your heart. It's going to be a bad judgment day. It's going to be a bad judgment day for me, too, but I can't imagine that kind of statement being made. Amen. First Corinthians, let's skip down to verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. God appeared to Solomon twice in 1 Kings 3:5 and 1 Kings 9:2. But his lust drug him outside of the circle, the perfect will of God. And you see tonight, men, let's be satisfied with the wife God gave to us. You hear what I said? The wife God gave to us. I'm not trying to be graphic tonight, but the last time I looked, every woman has the same parts. Amen, preacher?
Amen.
Why? Right. It's a trick from Satan.
Yeah.
Trick from Satan. And I'm telling you tonight, you get outside the circle, men, real quick. By looking at somebody else's wife.
Yes.
Young guys, don't jump around from girl to girl. That gets you in a bad habits. We got a young man I'm working with, and pray for me. I got my hands full. I got like 8 preachers. We traded you one, but I got 8 now to trade. Amen. We traded you the best, though. We traded you Babe Ruth. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And young man took aside. I said, look, you're setting yourself up for bad habits in the future because it goes from girl to girl to girl to girl to girl.
Amen.
Wait. What do you say in the Bible? You have to date. That's the world's philosophy.
Wait.
Young ladies, wait. You wait upon God. You wait upon God because you get with the wrong person and it's going to drag you outside of the circle of Jesus Christ. I love to come back and see Phil and Marlena serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I can still remember your address, 1250 Shadowlawn, right? I'm not a stalker. Don't worry about that. Amen. Melly and I would go out there and visit and write letters, and our daughter Amber worked, and boy, it's such a privilege to come back and to see her and her husband serving to Jesus. Glory to God, just makes me want to shout.
Sold out to God.
Let's look at Judas Iscariot, Matthew chapter 20. I got a lot more, but I'm going to do a couple more, and then I'm going to finish this up. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto him, what will you give me that I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. What will you give me? That statement there has got more people outside of the circle. What will you give me? What will you give me? Hey, world, what will you give me if I stay home from church? Hey, world, what will you give me if I don't read my Bible? Hey, world, what will you give me if I spend 6 hours a night watching the TV and not reading my Bible, not praying, and then wondering why my kids didn't turn out, why I wonder why my life's on a wreck, wonder why I've never seen a miracle, wonder why God not ever answers prayer, wonder why?
Yeah.
What will you give me, world? That TV's not going to give you anything but loneliness.
That's right. That's
and a headache,
right.
Amen. And worldliness and filth.
Yeah.
I have a television, amen. And, you know, I don't watch it a whole lot. I love football and baseball.
Yep. Amen.
But I don't watch a whole lot of it. Can't stand basketball, 5'4". It's a stupid game. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. They say when we was growing, you don't want to play basketball with those Turner boys. Me and my dad and his brothers and all them, they said they play basketball rougher than most people play football. Amen. Glory to God. No such thing as an easy layup. Amen. You're missing some teeth. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Might be 5'4", but that elbow can go up. Amen. tonight, what's it going to give you? Young people, let me help you out. Boy. I don't preach anything here that I don't preach at home. The sports is not worth it.
You're right. You are right.
Take out of church, Austin, it's not worth it.
That's right.
It's not worth it. There's souls. There's souls that's waiting upon you to come knock on their door. There's souls waiting upon you, Andrew, to come and tell them about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Hey, play baseball with the church. Do those things. Have fun. But when it comes to Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, soul winning, be where you're supposed to be.
Yes.
That's why the churches are empty, because the people in the churches aren't faithful enough.
Right.
We get outside the circle. Judas Iscariot was in the circle of 12 men that was called by Jesus Christ. So close to the Savior, but yet so far away.
Yeah.
Matthew 27, let's look at the rest of Judas. When the morning was come, the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See that to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas Iscariot didn't go to hell because he committed suicide. We know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that people who commit suicide, if they're saved, they go to heaven. I believe Jesus Christ is probably tapping his foot with his arms folded, saying, you took the precious life that I gave you. What are you doing? Yeah. We know Samson is in heaven. Samson committed suicide. Right. We know because he's listed in, I mentioned just a few minutes ago, Hebrews chapter 11. He's mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Faith. We know Samson's in heaven. But here's Judas Iscariot, a man that walked with Christ, that seen the miracles. He got outside the circle because what can you give me? Now, he didn't lose his salvation. We're talking about a lost man here. We're not preaching that. You can't lose your salvation. But what I'm saying tonight is he got outside of the circle so far that God wasn't going to draw him anymore. You don't come when you're ready. You come when the Savior calls. Boy, we had a man visiting Open Door for about 3 months, an older man in his 60s. And I love coming here because I love getting called a young man. I don't get called a young man a whole lot. Thank you, preacher. You made my day. Glory to God. I'm a grandpa, no hair, gray hair, to get called young. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He came to Open Door. He'd raise his hand. This was a distinguished-looking man, a businessman. He'd raise his hand every altar call that he needed Christ as Savior. Went to his house to tell him about Christ. I sent other people, but, you know, and thank God for a preacher that doesn't have pride, because, you know, there's times where I go out and try to win somebody to Christ, and I strike out, and I'll give it to one of the deacon, a faithful deacon of ours who makes a lot of calls, and his wife, and he'll go out and win him to the Lord. And it's like, well, I don't get mad. Well, why did he do it? And I'm just glad somebody got saved, glory to God.
Amen. That's the right attitude. Amen.
I sent him over there. Melanie and I went over there. And it sent Rob over there, and just a bunch of us went over there. And he refused so many times that he doesn't come to church anymore. He won't answer the door anymore when we go. You come to God when he's calling, not when you're ready for salvation. And also, if God's calling you to do something, if you're saved here tonight and God's calling you to do something, you better get on the ball and do it. Because, boy, the call's not constantly there. I had a bunch more, but let's look at one more. Let's look at one more here. I'm trying to decide which one to go to. Let's go to Diotrephes and 3 John. 3 John. 3 John. Time goes a lot faster up here than it does down there. Amen. 3 John. I love the spirit here tonight. I love the spirit. It's the first time I've got to hear Pastor Skyver preach in his home church in years. Boy, I loved hearing you preach, preacher. Just standing back here in amazement, just watching you. And after standing behind the pulpit for several years now, I see things that I didn't know before. And just watching how you dissect. And, you know, everybody thinks you're a goober, but you know what you're doing. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Amen, 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 amen. Third John. I'm glad that love offering was taken up already. Amen. Verse 9. I wrote unto the church. Now watch this. Watch this. Deacons, watch this. Sunday school teachers, watch this. If you think you know more than this man of God sitting down here in front, you need to apply this. But Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence. Well, there's two verses in the Bible, Colossians 1:18 and another one, but especially Colossians 1:18, it says Christ is to have the preeminence. Not any of us among them receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Tonight, I'm here to tell you, if you think you know more than him, you might on a certain subject, Boy, preacher, I don't know if you found this out, but I'm expected to be a car mechanic, a plumber, an electrician, a lawyer. Well, just somebody dropped a legal document off in my office. You know a lawyer? No. Does the church have a lawyer? No. Can you look at this legal document and get this back to me? He's like, what do I look like, a lawyer? Amen. Oh, but, let me send you the bill, by the way. Amen. I'll be all thanks to some, so I can reach, you know, a few, whatever. Amen. Glory to God. But I'm telling you tonight, we're not to build a statue.
That's it. Right.
No, no. I know there's a church, there's a man that I love very much, and they built a statue to him. They need to read their Bible.
Right.
They need to read their Bible. It's wrong.
Right.
Don't build a statue. Don't put a mural on the back of the church with him and Mrs. Skyver on it. No, lift up Jesus Christ.
Right.
But God gave you a under-shepherd here, and his name's Richard Skyver.
Right.
If he starts, if he goes contrary to the Word of God, then say something.
Right.
But as long as he is preaching out of the Word of God, stand behind the man of God.
Amen.
You get outside of the circle real quick when you think, well, I'm going to go tell that preacher a thing or two. Amen. We'll be visiting at Robson Memorial Hospital probably. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Stand behind the man of God. Stand behind the man of God. You know there's something good going on here. Look at the crowd on a Wednesday night. You know there's something good going on here. Hey, I go to other churches. God's given me the opportunity to preach in a few other churches the last couple of years. And some of them is just D-E-A-D. Dead. Amen. Dead. Dead. Amen. Did I spell that right? I'm half hillbilly. Amen. Glory to God. They're dead. Something going on good here. Doesn't mean he's perfect. Doesn't mean he's going to make every decision right, but stand behind the man of God. And by the way, Brother Rod, I know you. We've talked about this. We've seen this. When people start pushing the scriptures away and say, looking to the bylaws instead of the scriptures, that always makes that. I label that person there lunatic, because the scriptures have the preeminence also. I understand you need bylaws. I understand those things. I understand, but the scriptures have preeminence. The scriptures do. See, the devil's goal is to get us outside of the circle tonight. He wants to entice us by telling it's okay, it's not that bad. But we can never justify sin. Diotrephes thought he knew a little bit more than everybody else. But Paul rebuked him strongly in the scriptures through the Holy Spirit, by the way. Now tonight, I'm going to use this illustration. I'm going to close. Billy, stand up. Tonight, you can be in the center of God's will and still not be pleasing Him. You see, I believe with all my heart my son is in the center of God's will coming to Bethel Baptist Church. But if he stops reading his Bible, boy, folks, if you get anything from the message tonight, if you get anything at all, that Bible will make a difference in your life. It will, it will, it will. Boy, and I tell you, one more person who tells me it doesn't mean anything to them, and then I say, well, how many times have you read through it? Well, I haven't read anything through it. Don't give that opinion then, because that makes you look like stupid. Not only makes you look, you are stupid, amen, to give an opinion. I'm not going to give Dave an opinion about that bus, because I have no idea what I'm talking about on those buses. I don't know a whole lot about the scriptures, but I know the difference it's made in my life to make me believe that it's an inspired, preserved word of God. You see, tonight, you can be in the center of God's will. Let's pretend that cross is up there looking. That cross is sitting up there and Billy's looking at that cross. You can be in the center of God's will, but still not be pleasing Him. If He tells you to hand out one of these little gospel tracts and say, I'll do it next time. I'll do it next time. Hey, I'm still working on that myself, and I'm a pastor. I strike out myself. So let me help you feel a little bit better. Hey, I strike out sometimes. Too. Oh, I'll get them next time, or they're busy. I'll talk to them later, and I whiff sometimes. But boy, I'm getting better at it. Pray for me. I'm getting better at it. Striking up conversation with people. I don't want to get out of that side of that circle of God's will. But here's where most Christians are tonight. See, it matters what way you're facing also. We can be facing God. We're in the same position, but we're facing the wrong way. He is sounding forth a trumpet that shall never call retreat. There's no retreat in a Christian army. And here's another thing most Christians do. They're okay. They're up here in the center of God's will. stand right on the edge, but they stand right on the edge of going out into the world. And guess what? It's so much easier for Satan, I'm not going to push him, but it's so much easier for Satan to come up behind you and push you off into that world. Or one bad decision, push you off into that world. And you're outside of the perfect will of God. It matters. If you're right on the edge where most Christians live, oh yeah, they come to church four services. They read three verses of the Bible. They read 3.2 verses a day, and that's enough to get through in a year. And they give their tithes and their offerings, and they pray, but yet they think they've got the will of God cornered, but they're facing the wrong way. They're living on the edge.
Yeah, that's right.
Turn around. Then you can put up a fight. My dad always taught me, and I'm not advocating fighting, I don't mean to. My dad taught me how to, you learn to fight, or you're going to take a lot. And I didn't want to take a lot, so he taught me how to fight, amen. I never fought a good fight with my back to somebody. You fight a good fight with your face facing forward. It's a lot harder for me to push him off because he knows what's coming. You see, you grab that old King James Bible. You don't worry about what the educated, and I'm all for education, but you don't worry about what the educated say. Grab that old King James Bible. Hey, grab those kids and say, you don't have a choice whether you're going to church. We're going to church as a family. I love to see men, Bobby, leading their families to church instead of sending them to church. Wade, I'm proud of you. Thank you for leading your family to church instead of sending them to church. I don't have much use for a man that sends his family to church and sits at home and drinks embalming fluid and watches shows he shouldn't be watching.
Amen.
It's a lot harder to be pushed out of the circle of God's will if you're facing the Savior.
Right.
Tonight I'm begging you, Bethel Baptist Church. I believe with all my heart God wants to do it again here.
Yes.
I do. Yes. My wife knows me. I don't say things I don't mean. I don't puff things up. I don't blow things up unless the Lord puts it on my heart. I believe he also wants to do it, Jim Well, over in Lima.
Yes.
But I believe Jim Well, boy, he wants to do it here.
Yes.
He wants to do it here.
Yes.
If you got a diatrophy spirit, get it out.
Yes, sir.
It's not your environment. Oh, man, my parents were divorced, and, you know, my dad was an alcoholic, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and this is wrong, and that's wrong. Whew. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to go through those things. But get your eyes off the situation and get your eyes on the Savior. I'm begging with you. I'm pleading with you. My dad told me stories about his dad coming home. My dad's dad seen major action in World War II. They just got off the ship, and his buddy took an 88 millimeter. Now, if you know an 88 millimeter, that's a big shell, right in the stomach. He's seen his buddy get cut right in half, right off the ship. He came back, and they didn't understand it all then, but he went to the bottle. My dad told me stories about his dad coming home drunk, slapping people around. My dad said he'd grab hold of his dad, throw him on the floor, and sit on him until he passed out. That gave me a hatred for alcohol. If you have alcohol in your home, if you have it in your home, you're not right with God. You say, well, I use it for teething purposes. No, you don't, you lying scumbag. I can't believe I just said that. Is that okay? Amen, glory to God. You lying. Amen. Listen to me. You're not in the center of God's will if you have alcohol in your home. You're not in the center of God's will if there's porno on your computer. You're not in the center of God's will if you're lusting after other men or women. You're not in the center of God's will if you're not following the man of God. I'm not talking about Jim Jones type of following. I'm talking about saying, hey, okay, he thinks we need to do this. I guess he was walking with God. Preacher, you puzzle me. You do. I just sit back and watch in amazement. I tell my wife all the time, Melly and I both agree. She says, man, that guy is one of the few guys left anymore, Dave, that has an anointing of God on his ministry.
Amen.
It just amazes me. And I thank God for him. And I'm trying to puff him up, but you have something special here.
Yes,
cherish it. In the center of God's will. Don't walk on the edge. Move towards the middle tonight Make a conscious decision tonight. Get whatever out of your life needs to come out tonight. 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 New Year's resolutions are for losers.
Amen.
Yeah. I've been resoluting for years.
Amen.
Hey. Amen. It's for, don't wait till January 1st.
No.
I don't even know what the date is. What's the date? Whatever the date is today, start today. Start today. Oh, I'll start January 1st. Start today. Outside the circle. Boy, I'll close with this statement. You see, tonight, most Christians across this country have went to church. They're going to hear a poem, maybe play some bingo, maybe, you know, do this or that, have dance and praise and worship and dance teams. Dance teams are big over there in Lima. Yeah. Amen. You say, do you have one? No, because I can't dance. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. No. No, it's ungodly.
Amen.
They say, well, dance is in the scriptures. Study the word out. You'll never find a godly dance in the Bible between a man and a woman, by the way.
Amen.
This key difference. Tonight, the center of God's will. Get in the Bible and it'll tell you what's right and what's wrong. People just not in the Bible, preacher.
Right. You're right.
Tonight, the center of God's will. Most churches are full of people. And I'm not saying you folks, just using you for an example. You're part of my illustration tonight. We're just sitting out here existing. 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 6 hours of TV a night is the average American watches. 6 hours of TV a night. And includes the Christians. But we don't have time to read our Bible. Tonight. Tonight. The center of God's will. Boy, take a step towards that. Getting back in there. Take a step. That first step is the hardest. But the Savior helps you with the rest. Get it settled tonight. Let's pray. Dear Father, just thank you so much for your goodness, your love, and your mercy. Lord, please help myself to include it, to get back inside that circle, Father. Oh, Lord, please. We've seen with Adam and Eve, it's not the environment. They had a perfect environment. We've seen with Solomon how easy choices can pull us outside of your will. We've seen with Diotrephes, if we get pride in our lives, how quickly we can think we're the one. Oh, Lord, please move in our hearts tonight. So many of us, Lord, have things in our life that needs to come out. Lord, please move. Lord, please move tonight. Help me. Help us to make some good decisions. In thy name we pray. Amen. Preacher.